God, oh. shall come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Thank you, Father, that as we have sung in our worship, in our adoration, in our praise tonight, that Lord, O God, that singing, that testimony, see what the Lord has done. What we've waited for has come to pass. And Lord, O God, that will be, not eventually, but even now, our testimony. You reign supreme and sovereign over our lives. You are God, and there's none besides you. The same yesterday, today, and forever, the unchanging changer, our true reality, our eternal life, our Redeemer and our Healer. We give you praise, O God, for your faithfulness, for you are God, and you cannot lie. You're steadfast. There's nothing you've asked us to be and to do that you have not held yourself to. And so, Lord, we thank you that this day, as you are, so are we in this world. For we behold you in the fullness of your splendor, and your awesomeness has rubbed us on us, and we are living the God life. For your glory and honor and our benefit. Thank you, Father, that it is so. For we decree it so in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you back this evening. We're going to explore the word of the Lord as we started this morning, but from a different perspective. This morning I mentioned I was going to continue the second half of the message I started this morning. But when I got home, the Lord says, no, not yet. You're going to continue next Sunday. But this evening you're going to go in this direction. So we're going to go in another direction, still in the same flow. But next Sunday you'll get the second half of what I started talking about this morning. So I'd like you to come with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John, the first chapter. I'll encourage you to read this particular book. It's just 5 chapters. Go through it, study it, meditate on it, let it speak to your spirit. Because this is an apostle that was very close to the Lord. And he gives to us certain insights that some of the other testaments did not bring across fully to us. We know, for example, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins and from all unrighteousness, but how? When does that happen? My 40-something years, pushing 50 years of being a believer, has come with certain experiences in God. And part of it is recognizing where we as believers, when I say believers, I'm talking about me, you, every one of us. We do not know what the constitution of the Word of God is, what God is saying, and how things actually happen in our lives, that there is a principle, or let me put it this way, a science to the mind of God, that certain things happen certain ways because certain things are in place. And if those things are not in place, it doesn't work. It doesn't jive together. Do you understand? I cannot cook stew and say, I have stew here and all I have is water and salt. Will you call that stew?
No.
I don't care how much faith you exercise in, it's still not stew, it's just water and salt. All you can say about it is it's salty water. That's it. But you're not going to call it stew. Well, many times we call them things what they are not because we just assume. Well, does stew have water? Yes. Does it have salt? Yes. But does it make it stew? There are certain things that have to be added to make it stew. That makes sense? Well, forgiveness of sins happens because we forgive others. He said, I'm not going to forgive you if you don't forgive others. Is that not true? Oh, God, forgive me. I'm going to kill that guy. It doesn't jive. It doesn't work. It only works when you work it according to what God says in His Word. And assuming things is just that, assuming. I sent a text this morning to one of the daughters in this house, and I dictated it on my phone, and I didn't read it, and I sent it. Later, when I looked at the text I sent, it was the craziest text. It meant zero sense. She understood what I was saying because there were certain things that she put, but it was ridiculous. That's just, in fact, this text was just ruthless. It was a mess. Made no sense. Now, why did I send it? I sent it the way I sent it because I assumed that my dictate was going to be properly taken down by my phone so that when I sent it, it would be sending exactly what I said. Mistake. Assume nothing. Thank God it didn't say bad words. That would have really been bad. How do you explain that? The same thing with typing stuff, and you just assume it was typed right. You know, Google will do some correction for you, and it doesn't always work right. You got to check the checker. Hallelujah. Cross-check and cross-check it again. It says here in 1 John, that which was from the beginning. And he's talking about God. He's talking about Jesus. He was from the beginning, which we have heard. We heard the one that came from the beginning. Which we have seen with our eyes. What I'm about to talk to you about is about something and someone that I witnessed. This was not somebody told me. I saw him, I heard him, and he is from the beginning, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. I'm talking about the word of life. I touched him. I saw him. I smelled him. I related with him. I'm a witness. He says, for that life, that word of life, was manifested, and we have seen it. And we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. In essence, he's saying that this word is the eternal life. This one that we handled is eternal life. And I'm a witness. And he says, this eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And without mentioning the name of Jesus, he's talking about Jesus. He's saying, Jesus is the real deal, and I'm a witness. And then he goes back and he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. What kind of fellowship? Fellowship in the terms of coming into a relationship where that which we heard, which we saw, which we touched, which we listened to, that you will have that same kind of experience. Even though you didn't handle him, that he will become so real to you that it's like he's there with you, just like he was there with us. That you will hear him just like we heard him. That you will touch him just like we touched him. My son-in-law and his wife and our grandkids, last Sunday, we were, after service, we went to a restaurant and we're dining together, and he started sharing a particular story. It was just hilarious. I laughed so hard. I've not laughed like that before. Let me not say before. I've laughed like that, but not since the first laugh. And I'll tell you about that first laugh. I laughed. I thought I was going to die. My tummy ached. And I was laughing and laughing. It won't stop. And I was telling Mom, I said, I've not laughed this hard. I said, the last time I laughed this hard was when God touched me. Many years ago, I was in Nigeria. I can still see myself on my knees in front of this ottoman that I used for my rest. And I was praying, and the Lord came and touched me. He touched me. I laughed so hard, I started begging him. I said, stop, 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 you're going to kill me. You're going to kill me. I was laughing so hard. I had never experienced anything like that. I had to beg. Well, when God touches you, something happens to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God's touch that day was healing me of all kinds of junk that was still in my life. For the word of God says laughter is like medicine. Amen. God was giving, but I thought he was going to overdose me that day. My God. Oh, man, I'd not laugh like that. You know. But there's an experience in God that you can have. And he's saying, I've had this experience. You can have the same experience. You can come into this koinonia, this fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is not just with us, you and I. It is truly a fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. God wants you to have a fellowship with Him and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then He says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Why will your joy be full? Because you don't have to say, well, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. I'll never see Him until someday I die. No, Jesus will come to you in the now. I've had the privilege of having Jesus come to me. I've not seen Him physically, 3D, but He's come to me many times and spoken to me many times directly. And you and I can have that kind of a relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. It is attainable. And we don't have to struggle to have it. We just need to know that He has loved us. And He says, when you have this experience, your joy will be full. Praise God. So your joy is not really complete until you start hearing Him. Oh, I don't know if you got that. Let's go back to verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So you need to hear Him. Amen? And when you hear Him, you receive faith. Which we have seen with our eyes. And the Word is going to tell us that when we see Him, we'll find out that we are the same like Him. Praise God. God wants to open your eyes to behold Him. Which we have looked upon, which we have beheld, looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. Guess what? The Word of life is the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Word of life is also the Word that you hold in your hand called the Bible. Amen? It's saying when you have contact with that Scripture, you are coming in contact with the God life. Hallelujah. And it's an eternal life. Praise God. Now let's go further. Verse 5 says to us again, this then is the message which we have heard of Him. How many times have you heard Him? He's stating it again. Heard. So the key point is you need to hear. You need to hear. You know why people don't hear? People don't hear God because they don't obey God. God is not interested in making you worse than you are already if you have not heard and obeyed the last instruction. If God speaks to you, He expects you to obey Him. And when you obey Him, He gives you more instructions. How many of you would like to send somebody who is stubborn and rebellious and will not follow instructions? How many of you would like to give them instructions to do something again? So why do we expect that God is going to do contrary? If He says something to you, do this. Just do it. Then you'll be able to hear more. And your joy will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. You will never come to a place where you are fulfilled with the fullness of the joy of God if you are not walking with Him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This then is the message we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is what? Light. God is what? God is what? God is light, and in him, God, is no darkness at all. Praise God. There's no darkness in God. He's light. Last week we talked about the fact that when light comes, darkness leaves. Remember that? But when darkness comes, light doesn't leave. Because light is steadfast. That means that all God has for you is victory. All God has for me is victory. There is no way I am going to be a loser. I am victorious. He's made me more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even faith. Who is it that overcometh the world? 1 John chapter 5. Let's go there just briefly. 1 John chapter 5. This is important. 1 John chapter 5, starting to read from verse 1. For whatsoever is born, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Word of God, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Come. Everyone that loveth him that begat. Who is that? The Father. Remember what we said. Jesus came to reveal the Father. The primary thing, other than the fact that Jesus came to make sure that we are forgiven our sins, the primary purpose why he came was to reveal the Father. That the Father loves you and I. Amen? The Father loved you and I so deeply that he was willing to put his throne on the line so that we can be redeemed. Because the only thing the devil did not have was the throne of God. He had you. And he meant to keep you and I. So what are you going to give to me that I don't have? I want to redeem them. I want to buy them back. Okay. You want it? If Jesus blows it, I get that. Father had to have faith in his son. Hallelujah. That his son loves him that deeply to make sure that he does the right thing. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way possible, but did not blow it. Why? You see, it was not, the cross was the final point of the greatest temptation, but he lived a tempted life all through. And the cost of the effectiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ was backed not by gold or silver, but that currency that God used to buy you and I back from the agora, from the marketplace of sin, was backed by the Father and the throne. That's why the Word of God says, God so loved you and I that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, not just in Jesus, but in the Father, and the eternal love of the Father, that those people will not perish but have everlasting life. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God, that we are the children of God, that we love the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we what? When we love God and keep his commandments. Watch this. By this we know, by this the love of God, by this we know that we love the, what? Children of God. It didn't even say, by this we know that we love God. He says, hey, by this we know that we love the children of God when we what? Love God. Because when you love God, you have now the capacity to use that love that you use for God and manifest it in the love of people. So the Word of God tells us, how can you say that you love God when you don't love your brother? Make sense? And where are we getting that love from? From our love relationship with God. And where did we get that from? God has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. Whatever it is that we need to live victoriously, God gave to us. Amen? And he says, and that love that we have for God, which we have for his children, is the love that causes us to keep his commandments. And let's go a little bit deeper. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. But what have we been talking about so far? What is this overcometh the world, the systems of the world? It is the loving of God and loving of people. Your overcoming grace is in L-O-V-E. And this is a victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Who is it that overcometh the world? Me. That believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to chapter 1. So every one of us here, our names can be called victory, victor. Not victim, victor. So he says to us, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that is with the Father and with the Son, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Truth has to be done. Truth has to be proved. Truth has to be lived out. And he says, if we're walking in darkness, we're not walking in that truth. We are not doing that truth. It goes on. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, don't think that one with another is just one with another in terms of one with another with God. But in fellowship, one with another is also having fellowship one with another with you and I. Remember, if we love God, we demonstrate it by loving people. That makes sense? Are we together? So we cannot say, I'm a Christian and not love people. Now, let me step on all of our toes. How many of you believe that when people do not have the love of God in their lives, they are not saved because they've not heard the gospel, heard the gospel, that they will end up in hell? How many of you believe that? Okay? And you'll be right. The rest of you, I don't know where you are. People who have not heard the word of God and have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior are heading down the pathway to death, eternal life, or eternal death. Okay, there are other things that we need to talk about, but that is one primary pathway. Now, If we know that to be true, and we don't tell them, do we love them? Let me ask the question again. If I know that this will bring you to destruction, and I don't tell you, and I watch you go into that pit, do I love you? If somebody knows that doing such and such is going to set me free and don't tell me, do they love me? Okay. What does that mean? That means if we don't commit ourselves, either physically by preaching the gospel, teaching other people, getting people to come to salvation, showing them the way out of destruction, and so on and so forth, that we are also doing the exact same thing that is not demonstrating the love of God. Now, I cannot reach everyone, but I can do my utmost to live a life that demonstrates the love of God, shining bright as light. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then what? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from what? All sin. Not just some, all sin. Why? Because we're walking in the light. Hallelujah. We're walking in the light. We're walking in love. And it is in that walking in love that we get our sins cleansed consistently. Not because we, God, forgive me. No, it is in a constant. It is working all the time. The cleansing is taking place all the time. I don't know if you heard what I said. If you are walking in the light, cleansing is taking place all the time. Even before you forgive, it's taking place. But as soon as you kick out of the run of love, walking in love, forgiving one another, you're kicked out. You're on your own, brother. You think you're trying to you're trying to punish somebody? No, you're punishing yourself, walking in unforgiveness, walking outside the perimeters of love. So what do you think the devil is going to do? He's going to bring people into your life that are going to make you not want to love. He's going to bring haters your way who are going to try to contaminate you so that you become a hater too. He's going to remind you of all the ill things that people did to you, what somebody said to you, and so on and so forth. Listen, I'm speaking from experience. I know I must have said this story in the past about how there was this dear sister. She was having some relational issues with her family. And Mom and I, 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m. in the morning, weird hours, bawling our eyes out, you know, crying, my husband is blah, 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 blah. And we'll work with her, we'll calm her down, we'll encourage her. The next day, she's back at it. And then another day. Now, this was going on for about a year. Almost every day, this one, no exaggeration here. This woman will call us 2-3 times in a day. Then there was a gentleman, a brother that came to the church. I think he was from Trinidad or something. And he had an accent. You had to listen hard to hear him. Good man. Anyway, this sister switched us from us, calling us so many times. Now it was reduced to like one or two times rather than three, four, five times. And I heard, because I hear all kinds of funny stuff, but you know, some things you don't want to hear. The Bible says if you're trying to listen to all kinds of stuff, King, you're going to find that your servants sometimes are cursing at you. So you don't want to listen to everything. Anyway, this one time, I heard it. This lady that keeps on bugging us says, I don't understand what he's talking about most of the time. Pastor Zeno and Pastor Maria, they have an accent. And I'm thinking, hello, I have an accent. And you're calling me 2 a.m., 3 a.m. every day for over a year. I have an accent. And I know this guy over here, he seriously has an accent. Okay, I've had it with these Christians, I said. I've had it with all of them. If I see the devil dragging them down the street, I'll say, I hope you get out of that mess, but I'm not going to, no. I will preach, but I'm not going to give any time to anybody spending my life, and then you come and tell me nonsense. I thought I got away with it. Took about a year. One day, I couldn't hear God. The heavens were shut. I had no feelings in my heart. I was like dead wood. I was still preaching, and it looked like God was moving, but I was dying. And I had a board meeting, and I said to my board members, I said, I need you guys to pray for me. What do you need, Pastor? I said, I can't feel in anything. So they prayed. I went home, still feeling the same way. Mama was in bed already. She was on the right side of the bed, looking out the window, and I was on the inside. And I came to the bed and I said, I feel dead inside. Something is definitely wrong. And she was still facing that way and just puts her hand on me, just touched me like that, and I sensed something broke. Poof. There was a change. I used to have a program then called The Message of Deliverance on Vidion, which was bought over by Shaw. And it used to be at the corner of Pembina and Stafford. And this was the same year that Jimmy Swaggart had his situation, and he was crying on television. And so I'm doing this television program, and all of a sudden, I'm talking about believers, and I want to start crying on television. I said, Holy Spirit, you're not going to do that to me. I am not going to be Jimmy Swaggart on television today. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it to me. Oh, I was about to start bawling because I loved believers. I was free. And when I got out of that television program that day, I said to myself, never again am I going to hold a grudge or allow anybody to get to that place where they hurt me and I embrace the hurt. It's not happening ever again. I'm going to forgive you before you hurt me. Hallelujah. Oh, it was a good experience because since then, I've had many reasons to hold a grudge. Oh, the meanest people I found out, I found in church. Man, sometimes people do crazy things. But you've got to make a decision. I'm going to love you anyway. You're not going to drag me to hell. No, sorry. We're not doing that. I choose to love you. I choose to forgive you. I choose to embrace you as a brother or a sister. We're not going down that path. And that's how the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing you. It's steady. It just keeps on cleaning you. But it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We sin. We do the wrong thing. We miss the mark. The word is hamartia. If you don't acknowledge that you are a sinner first, you cannot receive the righteousness of God. You have to first of all agree with God that you sinned, that you've done the wrong thing, and you are repenting. Do you get it? You're repenting, you're changing, and saying, God, do a work in my life that causes me to live a transformed life. He says, if we don't acknowledge that, he says we're deceiving ourselves. But if we confess homologio, the practice of saying the same thing that God says, if we confess our sins by acknowledging it, God is faithful. And he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Righteousness is the right to stand before God. Unrighteousness means that you don't have the right to stand or walk with God. In fact, righteousness is the grace that is given to you to stand before God and to walk with God. God came into the garden and he walked and talked with Adam and Eve. Yes? And when they sinned, the talk was over. They were cast out. True? Well, righteousness reestablishes you to that place where you have talk. You can talk to God and God can talk to you. Remember what I said, when I held that grudge, the heavens were shut. I could not hear God. My heart was hardened. And the sign that God cannot speak to you is a hardened heart. When your heart is hardened and you don't have any sense of feeling anymore, the Word of God says we need to be tender-hearted. And guess what? The tender-heartedness is connected to dealing with your brother and your sister. Interesting. The proof that you're a child of God is not just in you spending 5 hours praying, 10 hours praying. All of that is good. It is about how you are going to deal with people that you see day in, day out. You walking in love with them. Or you sitting down there plotting, I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to show you that you don't mess with me. You will know my name is Michael. Yes, everybody knows your name is Michael. So act right. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Made who a liar? God. Huh? You can make God a liar? I said, yeah. How, Lord, if you don't acknowledge that you have sinned and there's sin in your life and that you need forgiveness? Then there is no fellowshipping with God. Because your fellowship then gets broken. You've got to acknowledge that God is right. All this nonsense that we practice today and sometimes is preached from pulpits around the world. Oh, you're perfectly okay. There's nothing wrong with you. It's a bunch of hooey nonsense. That's not, in fact, I heard somebody preaching this from a grace perspective and saying, oh, this does not have anything to do with Christians. It doesn't have anything to do with Christians. You know, this is unbelievers that it's talking about. No, it's talking about, we want you to have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with Him. And if you are not walking in the light, you are walking in darkness. So it covers both the believer and the non-believer. Now, we don't live in the realm where we say, I'm such a sinner, and no good will ever come out of my life. It's a different story. Because what the Word of God now says, it says, if we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not where? In us. His Word is not in you. But chapter 2 now says to us, watch this, how it's going to change. Chapter 2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you what? Sin not. So God is not saying, you're a sinner, stay in sin. He's saying, hey, there is cleansing that's taking place. There's redemption that's taking place. Children, don't sin. Don't live defeated. If any man sin, if you mess up, we have an advocate. Know what an advocate is, right? An advocate is a lawyer that advocates for you, that represents you. Says, sit down, yes, just let me do the talking for you. And who is this advocate? Jesus. Jesus is the advocate. Advocating before whom? Before the Father. You know, I paid for his sin, right? Yes. He's a little bit slow, but he's going to get there. Huh? This, just chill. You love him. Don't you love him? Yes, I love him. But I want to swipe him a little bit. No, no, you can't do that. He's just a little kid. He's going to do okay. Remember the story about the owner of let me put it as a farm, and he comes and he wants to get fruit from his figs, from this fig tree, and he comes and there was nothing. He comes another year, there's nothing, and he says, you know what? I want you to cut this tree down, this useless tree. Cut it down. And the guy turned and said, let's give it another year. Let me dig around. Let me put some fertilizer. And if nothing happens, then you can do whatever you got to do. That's the Lord Jesus Christ advocating for you and I. Saying, I know where you're coming from. But we've never started anything that we don't finish. Let's work this thing out. But let me say to us that God, patient He is, but if we will continue in sin, we will perish. God wants me forgiven, and He has given the pathway for restoration. Amen? It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen? Verse 2. And he is the propitiation, or the satisfaction, or the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, as in terms of believers, but also for the sins of the whole what? The whole world. So when God looks at the world, he doesn't see a sinful world. He sees a world that's been paid for. That's why good and bad happens. But there comes a time when that regiment, that dispensation ends. Well, those that want to continue in sin have to go to where they love to go. But it says Jesus has become the propitiation for our sins. It says, and hereby we do know that we know him. This is a key thing. Remember the ingredients? This is how we do know that we know him, or that we love him, if we keep his what? His commandments. In the Gospel of John, he says, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. And now what does God's word now say? He's saying that loving me means knowing me. They're the same thing. You cannot love God and not know him. And you cannot know God and not love him. Same thing. And the people that know God are great, they are mighty, and they do exploits. They are committed to the God agenda. He that said, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, the same is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth the word, in him verily is the love of God, what? Perfected. The love of God is what? Perfected. Remember what we talked about, perfection, teleo. That means it is matured, it's complete. If it is perfected, it means that it went through a process. Amen? Because you blew it today does not mean that you are a blower. It just means that you blew it. Get back up and continue. You will grow. You become more like him day by day. You are being changed into the same image. Amen? So don't put yourself, oh, I'm just a mess. You're looking at yourself. You're not looking at the author and the finish of your faith. He says, but he that saith he abided in him, if you say that you abide in him, he says, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. He said, if you're in him, you won't walk like your father. Amen? Oh, well, I'm just human. You know what? Hush up. You are not just human. You created an image and the likeness of God. You are in him, and he wants you to imitate him, walk like him. In fact, he puts his DNA inside of you that compels you to walk like him. I remember many years ago, after I'd been away from home, my home country, other home country, I was at the airport, and I was going to get my bags. I didn't have the currency, so I had to go do some foreign exchange so I can pay the people that are going to help me with my bags. And as I walked past where people were standing and waiting for those that have arrived. I came out, when I finally came out, because my sisters had not seen me for years. They didn't know how I was going to look. When I left the country, I was this thin. I had six pack over here, but now that I showed up, I showed up with a barrel. And they said, we knew it was you. I said, how did you know that it was me? You walk like our father. If you are my kid, you're going to walk like me. You have my DNA. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's all God is saying. It's if we're in him, we're going to walk like him. How does he walk? He walks in love. Praise the Lord. Brethren, I write no new commandment. I'm not writing a new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. It is true in him and it is also true in you, because the darkness is past. Praise the Lord. The darkness is what? It is past. You're not in there anymore. It says, and the true light now shineth. And in him there is no darkness at all. Amen? See yourself from a new perspective. You are a child of God. He that said he is in the light, you say, I'm in the light, and hated his brother, is in darkness even until now. You've not changed. You didn't get out. You're still where you are. You're still in darkness. Nothing's changed in your life. If something's changed, you'll be walking in the light and you will love your brother. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. What is the point? The point is, now that you've come into the light, you are part of the light and you don't want to have anything to do with the darkness anymore. And there is no occasion of what? Stumbling. You're not tripping all over the place. Hallelujah. You are secure. You are established. You are just fine. But the person who hates his brother is in darkness, not in the light, not in the Father, meaning that you don't have fellowship with the Father nor his Son. You're in darkness, and you're walking in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth. You don't know where you're going. You're confused, man. Why? Because that darkness of you hating your brother has blinded your eyes. You no longer see. So therefore, the statement, that which we have heard, that which we have beheld, that which we have touched, cannot become your reality. That's why a lot of believers are still struggling, because they are not making the decision to walk in love. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are what? Forgiven you. Why? For his name's sake. Oh, watch this. I'm going to stop here. We're forgiven for his name's sake. How does that relate to I will forgive you because you have forgiven? Herein is the answer. You forgive for his name's sake. Because of Jesus, I forgive you. Because of Jesus, I forgive you. Because of Jesus, I forgive you. And that's how I get my forgiveness. For his name's sake, you're forgiven. Because of what Jesus did, you are forgiven. And you do the same thing. Because of Jesus, you are forgiven. Did you get that? The foundation of you and I forgiving each other is because of Jesus. That's it. Not because the person changed and did the right thing by you. No, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I forgive you. Okay, you're trying that again? Because of Jesus, I forgive you. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly. It was not when I decided, okay, I'm wrong. No, he forgave me before, watch this, he forgave me before I even asked for forgiveness. That's why when I was yet a sinner, I could pray and God answered me. Because his word says, the only reason I cannot hear you, the only reason I cannot fix your problem is because your sin have separated you from me. Is that what the word of God says? So how come he heard me? Because he, by executive order, decided, forgiven. So he can hear me and I can hear him. Or else you won't have been saved. Because you won't have been able to hear the word of God. You got saved because you heard the word of God and you repented. Is that not true? So God's faith channeled to you an understanding that made you believe. Because even that we cannot do. My capacity to believe came because God gave me the capacity to believe. He did all of it. All I'm doing is agreeing and saying, you're right. You did it for me. Thank you. You paid the price for me. Thank you. You gave me the power to live right. Thank you. You gave me the grace to choose correctly. Thank you. All of it is thanksgiving to God who's graced me with his life so I can live a new life. Amen? There's so much more to share, but we'll stop there for tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for grace and for mercy. Thank you for the capacity to walk in love. Walk in love because love has been shared abroad in our hearts. Thank you for the capacity to choose with the spirit of discernment the right things. Thank you, Lord, for the call to fellowshipping with you and with each other. May we be agents of change, agents of your loving kindness in a world that is filled with darkness. Your word says that gross darkness will cover the earth, but arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. May we begin, O God, as your people, locally and globally, may we begin to respond to the integrity of your word in knowing that what you say is what you mean, and what you mean is what will be made manifest. May our eyes be open to behold who you are. May we choose at all times to walk in love, to care, to understand, to hear each other out, to give each other the break, to help establish each other. When we see a brother down, that will come alongside and lift them up. Give them the assistance that they need to continue to walk uprightly before you. We are not animals that walk on all four. We are men, sons and daughters that stand in the integrity of righteousness, walk in the beauty and splendor of grace, walking in love, living fulfilled, testifying of the change, the transformation, the transfiguration that has brought us into an elevated place in union with you, our Most High God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you came and that you participated in this service. I will continue with this thought as we go on to the third chapter in the next evening service, God helping us, and if that's okay with the Lord. But this next Sunday, I will go back to what we started this morning and wrap that up, and then next week evening, I will wrap up what we started out this evening. Amen? At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let us plan and engage in sowing for souls. There's a major crusade coming up, and we need everyone to be engaged at the ability and grace that God has given to you as God speaks to you. If God speaks to you and says, give such an amount, and it's a huge amount, it was not the devil. The devil never asked you to give for souls. That I can guarantee you. You know, so just obey God and just do what God says for you to do. And the net result is that we are going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. You know, lives are going to be saved in the thousands, and people are going to be healed in the thousands, and we're going to get slaves out of the place of enslavement, and we're going to disciple churches and leaders who are going to continue to help build. Where I'm going to go to, I believe we have 269 home churches from the meetings and crusades that we've been doing in the last little while, actually since COVID till now. We've had every month, we've had a crusade, a mini crusade, and now and then we'll have a major mass crusade where thousands and thousands of people come to, and God is using it and is touching lives, and you are part of that miracle. Amen? So thank you so much for those that have given already. I thank you for your generosity, and I think we must be around 30% already of what we need. We have another week plus to go. You know, let's get it done. Okay? God bless you. Come, honor God with your giving. And then we'll close in prayer. There's an old song we used to sing. He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, he's alive forevermore. He is alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Father, we thank you that you died, you were buried, you were raised again from the dead, alive forevermore, to die no more. Lord, let it be so with us, that once dead to sin, but now forever alive unto you. May our lives testify of your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We bow ourselves before you in true humility, and we say, Lord, help us represent you well. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Brother John, thank God for you participating this evening. May God's grace abound.